morning.
Good morning.
Our first song this morning will be number 521. 521. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now saved am I.
Bye.
Let us bow to go on our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, first and foremost, thanking you for another day of life, another day to be able to rise up and be able to come and to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to be here to worship you, Father. God, we just want to just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who you let come onto this earth and die on the cross for remission of our sins, Father. We thank you, Father, just for the love that you've given us, O Lord, even though we don't deserve it, Father. Father, we ask at this time you forgive us of our sins, both known and unknown. Father, at this time we ask that you will bless those, Father, that were mentioned that are sick, those who are bereaved, O Lord. Father, we ask that you keep your ever-loving arms around those fathers who want to be here, Father, but could not, for whatever reason, Lord, you know. God, we ask you that you take this time, that you bless this nation, O God. Bless the leaders of this nation, O God, that they do the things, Father, that you would have them to do, O God. And Lord, we ask at this time also, Father, that you would bless the leaders of this congregation, Father, that you continue to lead them and guide them in a way, Father, that is pleasing and is purpose, that you have purpose for them to do, O God. And Lord, we ask at this time you will also bless Brother Skippy this morning as he brings us this lesson. Father, if there's any in our audience this morning that is in need, that the words that you give to him will bring them closer to you, O Lord. And Lord, we ask that you continue to just keep us, Father, keep us always, O Lord. Continue to guide us, O Lord. Continue to help us to be, that you be the head of our lives, O Lord. That in this world we have to understand, God, this is not our home. That everything here, Father, is fleeting. But what you have for us, Father, is everlasting. God, we ask everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Further prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing number 300. 300.
When I survey the
At this time, we've come to the portion of the worship this morning where we remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I just wanted to read a couple of scriptures momentarily just to provide some scriptural context for what Lord's Supper, otherwise referred to as communion, is about. So I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll start with verse 23 there. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church there. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." So as we just read there, brethren, the Lord's Supper consists of two emblems. We have the bread, which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And we have the cup, or the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed, that he shed, the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So at this time, we're going to offer thanks for the bread, and then we'll do so for the cup. Let's bow for the bread. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. We bow before you with humble hearts, Father, remembering our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, at this time, Father. Remembering his body that was offered up on that cruel cross for us, Lord. And Father, as we're about to partake of this bread, Lord, we ask that you'd help all of us to clear all of our minds, Father, freely and truly reflect upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us, Lord. And we pray, Father, that as we partake of the bread, that we might do so and partake of it in a way and in a manner that's well-pleasing in thy sight. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind, gracious, and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Heavenly Father, so thankful unto you for allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, to be able to gather together this morning, Heavenly Father, to be able to gather together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father. Thankful for this opportunity to come together this morning, partake of this Lord's Supper, to come together in remembrance, Heavenly Father, of thy Son Jesus, in the remembrance of this sacrifice that he made, to be thankful for the love that he showed, a love that was so great that he was willing to give his life, even though he was without sin, Heavenly Father, to become that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, Heavenly Father. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to take of this fruit of the vine who represents thy Son's most precious blood, that would do so in a manner that would be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
We try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody might have been inadvertently overlooked. So if you happen to be overlooked in the passing of the bread or the cup, you raise your hand at this time and we'll see to it that you're served. I don't see any hands, so this concludes the Lord's Supper. And at this time, we'll move into a different portion of our worship, and that concerns giving. And I wanted to just take a brief moment here and read two sets of passages that concern giving. The first comes from book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'll start at verse 1 there. This is still the Apostle Paul. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so that provides some scriptural reference and support that giving is indeed part of our worship on the first day of the week. And I briefly just wanted to read a couple of additional verses, one book over, this time from 2 Corinthians. And this one will come from chapter 9 and starting at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So between these two passages here, although it is a biblically commanded act of worship, it's not a have-to commandment, brethren. This is something that, as Christians, we should look forward to the opportunity to give back a portion of what the Lord has richly blessed us with. And so let's bear that in mind as we're going to go to God and give thanks now for that opportunity which He's blessed us to give back. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again so humbly bow before Your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful of all the many, many rich and tremendous blessings of life that You've given each and every one of us, Father. They're too numerous to even begin to count or contemplate, Lord, but we know that indeed all these things flow from Thee. And Father, at this time, as we have the opportunity now to give back a portion of what You've so richly blessed us with, Lord, we pray that we would have the right heart, attitude, and mindset, Father, and that the contribution offered would help to further the work of Thy kingdom here, the work of the church, and might broaden the bounds of Thy kingdom, Father. And we ask these and all things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let's mark our songbooks to number 860. 860 will be the song of invitation. For the lesson, we'll sing number 392. 392 for the lesson. Let us stand and sing this song.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, 'cause His promise is grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oh, we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems with fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust in each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Let us be seated. The title of the lesson this morning will be encourage yourself when times get rough. Encourage yourself when times get rough. It'll be taken from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David, the people that were with him, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Brother Skippy.
Like to say good morning. Truly, God has been good to us. It's good to start the week off in the house of the Lord. And it's just good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Especially if you're visiting with us, we do count you as an honored guest. Glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. We know that you could have been anywhere else, but we're just glad you chose to be with us on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for just giving us life, allowing us to be able to come to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situations. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there have been things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Encourage yourself when times get rough. Last week has been a week that a lot of people have been going through some tough times. I've had some phone calls of those that are last week that was going through some rough times and just needed prayer and just some encouragement. And as I was pondering, I asked the Lord to just guide me into things to be able to say to be an encouragement to those who are going through tough times in their lives. When you look at this text in 1 Samuel 30, we see that David and his men, they came to Ziklag there in verse number 1. The Amalekites had attacked Ziklag and they burned it in verse number 1. They had taken captive the women and all who were in, both the young and the old. They didn't kill them, but they carried them off as they went their way in verse number 2. We find that his enemies had taken their women and children and everything else in verse 3. And they began to weep and they wept and they till they couldn't cry anymore in verse 4. Then David's two wives were captives in verse number 5. David himself, he was torn with grief and with not a tear left to shed. The Bible says that David was greatly distressed. In verse 6, the people rose up in anger. They were talking of stoning David because of their overwhelming grief. In verse 6, they had come to the end of their rope. All hope is gone. Swallowed up in grief and despair. But then here's the words. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. I know some of us think that people are crazy when they speak to themselves. But it's not really strange at all. If you can sing to yourself in the shower, you can encourage yourself. If you can talk out the numbers while you dial the phone, you can encourage yourself. If you can read a recipe out loud when you're the only one in the kitchen, you can encourage yourself. You see, if you can add up money out loud when you're trying to buy something, you can encourage yourself. David has lost both his delight and his joy. The devil hit him with a twofold punch. He lost the reason to be happy, and he lost the joy that goes beyond happiness. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but somebody in here, the devil has done that to you. You don't smile like you used to. You don't love like you used to. You don't feel the spirit like you used to. You don't interact with others like you used to. You don't appreciate people like you used to. And so I hope this lesson this morning will lift your spirit and inform you and remind you to encourage yourself in the Lord. If you are a child of God, I want you to know that God will give you the ability to go through the tough and rough spots without you falling apart. God will give you the ability to go through difficult moments without flipping out, to deal with haters and hell raisers without going postal on them. What are you trying to say this morning? That God would give you the ability to get to the boiling point and not boil over, to get to the edge of the cliff and not jump off, to get close to the fire and not be burned, to get lowered into the lion's den and not be eaten alive, to step down into the Red Sea and not drown. God gives us the ability to go through some things without losing our mind in what we're going through. I want you to note that in order for you to hold up before God shows up, so that you don't mess up what God is setting up, you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself. See, some stuff that we have not been taught how to go through. How to keep joy when you are surrounded by junk. How to sing when you are sad. How to endure when nothing changes. How to hang in and how to hold on. Oh, it would be wonderful. It'll be wonderful and glorious if we always had support around us, who are always there to lift us up, to pat us on the back and tell us how good we look and how good we are and how much we mean. But the truth of the matter, in life and about experiences, is that sometime when you need it most, people will not be there to embrace you, to encourage you. And so if you're going to make it, if you're going to perfect the art of looking in the rearview mirror with tears streaming down your face and saying to yourself, I'm not giving up, I'm more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. You got to know how to encourage yourself. And so this morning, I want to give you three R's to help you encourage yourself. reach, remember, recover. Let's look at it. First of all, I suggest to you that if you're going to learn to encourage yourself in tough times, you got to reach for it. In other words, I want to go somewhere. I want to do something. I want to be somebody. I want to have some things. I want to drive somewhere. I want to achieve something in the great, in the name of God, for the kingdom of God, whatever it is that I'm trying to seek, that I'm trying to do, that I'm trying to reach, I got to learn how to go for it. I don't want to waste the gifts that God has given me on stuff that really cannot impact and change somebody's eternity. I don't want to squander the opportunities that God has put before me, because before you can ever get your promise, you must first learn how to manage your pain. Because if you can't take it, you can't make it. And if you can't handle it, then you'll do more harm than you can ever do any good before you get to it. And God knows, church, that in order to grow us, God has to permit us to be broken. What are you saying? There are people here today who know what it means to be broken. God permits you and I to be broken so that we can surrender to God, so that you will seek God, so that you will obey God and give your life to God through obedience to the gospel, to discover sufficiency in God and push you off of the pedestal on which you have placed yourself, and push you to a place of service and surrender. I've discovered that to surrender means to give in, give up, and admit I am defeated, lay down my guard, submit, to yield, to regress, to relinquish, and to hand over. Is there anybody here this morning? No. That God has put you into some situations that broke down your false pride, that dismantled your ego, that eliminated your illusions, that drove you to your knees and even had to go back and apologize. God will permit struggles to show up in your life to remind you surrender is what He desires. Surrender is what He needs, and surrender is what He requires. Struggles do not come with advance notice. There is no advance warning system that can predict struggles when they come. Struggles just blows in like a hurricane. It tears up stuff and everything you thought would last. But I came to tell you this morning that despite the storms, despite the winds that have a tendency just to blow in, you have to train yourself to go on anyhow. Just because things don't work out the way you thought doesn't give you the right to quit. Just because you don't understand while other people seem to be doing better than you, although you have lived good and they have lived their worst life, that doesn't imply that you get an exemption from obedience or commitment. You got to go on anyhow. God's got to take me through some things. He's got to take me through these little fights and tests and struggles and setbacks, because when my real fight comes, I want to be ready. David really didn't understand why he was going through what he was going through. The enemy had stolen his stuff. But here is his secret weapon. And that is, number two, not only do you reach for it, number two, you need to remember it. Somebody in here this morning, they need to hear me well, because you are under attack right now, and you know you are. I don't know this morning who I'm talking to, but the enemy has been trying to take you out. They've been trying to wipe you out and tear you down, because he knows that if you ever realize what God has already put within you, what God has already mapped out in front of you, then you are going to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. The devil this morning is trying to take somebody out. He tried to take you out by being financially strapped, but that didn't take you out. He tried to take you out with heartbreaks, but that couldn't take you out. He tried to destroy you by letting your children act a fool, but that didn't take you out. So he's got to use one more thing, and one thing after another, because you are stronger than you even know it. The devil has to come after you with one affliction after another. But when I look at Psalms 34 and verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them from them all. David remembered, and that's why he could say, and that's why he can sing Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is how the saints of old were able to make it through. They remembered how God made a way out of no way. And you need to remember this morning the same thing, that God has made a way out of no way for you many times in your life. But then I want you to look. Look what God did. God provided him a way so that David ultimately was able to encourage himself. And that means, thirdly, not only did he reach for it, he remembered it, but thirdly, he recovered it. When you look at verse number 8 of 1 Samuel 30, we find David, he talks to the Lord, and the Lord responded in verse 8. David and his men, they came to a brook of Bezer. In verse number 9, David and his men were wandering through the wilderness. In verse 10, they were weary, and they came upon an Egyptian boy who had been left to die by his master. They fed him and brought him back to health in verse number 11 and verse 12. And this boy began to sing, you would say, like a canary in verse 13 and 14, because he told them, I know who took your stuff. I know who took your wives, and I take you to where they are. Look how God is working there in verse number 15. So he took David and his men down to the Amalekites' camp. And when they pulled up, the Bible said, you know, the enemy was having a party. In verse number 16. Because listen to me. Whenever the enemy has stolen your stuff, your dreams, your family, your hope, your promises, he is prone to party. Whenever he feels like he's won out over you,
that something that is important to you, taking something that is valuable from you, he is prone to celebrate. As there was a party going on, there was dancing and there was drinking that was going on. Don't you know that the devil always overplays his hand? Because look at verse 18. So David and his men went in unafraid, wiped them out. Said that David recovered all. Did y'all see that? David recovered all. I just want to let you know that everything that the devil has stolen from you, you can get it back. You can't give up here. Church, listen to me. I want you to know that you got to encourage yourself when you're going through some tough times. You might not want the bankruptcy, but if it came, go through it. You might not want the sickness, but if it's there, go through it, because it's all part of the process. You can't give up. You gotta go through it so that you can recover, so that you can get your stuff back. Your family, your back, your joy, your relationship, your peace back. Don't worry this morning. Don't worry and fret about the enemy. I might be hurting. I might be crying. I might be limping. But I'm going through. The Bible says that he was greatly distressed. Somebody in here need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Somebody here needs to talk with yourself. You need to remind yourself that no matter what I'm going through, that Jesus has already been there. The pain in life, Jesus has already been there. The troubles in my way, Jesus has already been there. The tears in my eyes, Jesus has already been there. Family turned their back on me, Jesus has already been there. When you look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16 as I close, the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and that we can find grace in times of need." I want to encourage you this morning. Encourage yourself. When times get rough in your life, and I'm here to tell you, they're going to get rough. People are not going to always be around to lift you up. You got to learn how to lift yourself up. You got to learn how to go on in spite of what you're going through. Because you serve a God who said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." You serve a God who said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." If you're here in child of God and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, listen, you're trying to go through stuff on your own. You need to learn how to give it over to God. And how you do that? You got to first become his child. How do you do that? You heard the word. You got to believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17, you got to be willing. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. You got to be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32 and 33. But then you got to be willing to go down in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do that mean that all your trouble is going to be over? All the pain is going to be over? No. Trouble is still going to come as long as you live in this earth. You're going to still experience some pain, but now you got somebody on your side that can help you with what you're going through. Then you have to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death and you receive a crown of life. You're here in a Christian. Maybe you haven't been living as a Christian should. Maybe you've been going through some stuff this morning and you've been trying to handle it on your own and you see that's not working. You got to turn it over to somebody that can help you. Jesus is the one. He said, bring your burdens to me. But when you take them there, leave them there. He may not come when you want him to, but I'm here to tell you that he's always on time. Encourage yourself when times get rough. Let us stand.
Who at the door is standing?
Bow with me. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Lord. Father, we're humble and thankful at this time that we've all had the opportunity, the health, and the desire, Lord, to rise up out of our beds this morning, to assemble together, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Our Father, we're thankful and mindful of the portion of thy word that was brought to us this morning from our brother Norman. We pray, Father, that as we go through our lives, as we're tempted, as we're disappointed, as we deal with the trials and tribulations that this world has to offer, Lord, we pray that we can lean on thee, we can lean on thy word, we can lean on the power of prayer, Father, so that we may all remain self-motivated. Our Father, we're mindful of all those who are sick at this time, Lord. We pray that you may wrap your arms around each and every one of them, Father, that you would comfort them, that you would bless them, that if it would be your will, Father, you might grant unto them the things that they need, that they may be restored to a normal portion of their health and strength. Father, we ask the same for those who may be bereaved at this time, Father, that you might wrap your arms around them, Father, that you might bless them, you might comfort them as they grieve the loss of their loved and treasured one, Father. Our Lord, we're mindful and thankful of all the many tremendous blessings of life that you've bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. They're too numerous to even begin to count and contemplate, Lord. But we pray that you might help us remember, Father, that all these things flow from thee. And Father, we're most thankful this morning, Lord, of your tremendous love and grace. The love and grace that sent your only begotten Son down upon this earth, Father, to become that perfect sacrifice, that perfect Lamb of God. Spotless and sinless, Lord, but nevertheless was crucified for us, Father, became that perfect sacrifice. The shedding of his blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father. And we pray, Lord, that our constant reminder and remembrance of Christ Jesus and our thankfulness thereof would be reflected, Lord, in the actions, the deeds, the words, the example that we live as Christians, Father, that others may see the light, may see the hope that lives in us. The fathers, we're getting ready to depart here this morning, Lord. We pray that you would continue to wrap your arms around each and every one of us, Father, that you might comfort us, that you might guide us, that you might forgive us, Lord, of those sins and shortcomings that we might have committed as we repent and do our best to turn away and no longer do those things anymore. And Father, we pray that you would bless us with the strength, with the heart, and with the mindset to be back here at our next appointed time, Father. We ask these and all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.